Pasuk tells us in this coming week's parasha, Parashas Bamidbar, that after Aaron HaKohen would no longer be able to do the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, that his two sons, Elazar and Isamar, who are now his oldest sons after the death of Nadab and Avihu, would take his place. As the Pasuk says, Ve'ichayin Elazar ve'Isamar al pnei Aaron Avihem. And this is based on the Pasuk earlier in Parashas Tetzaveh, where the Torah tells us, Shivas Yamin Yubashem HaKohen tachtav mibonav, that his sons, the son of the Kohen Gadol, would take the place of the Kohen Gadol. As Rashi comments over there in Parashas Tetzaveh, Tachtav mibonav melamed shem yesh lo le Kohen Gadol ben, v'malis mekoyma yimnuhu Kohen Gadol tachtav. So if the Kohen Gadol has a son who's able to become the Kohen Gadol in his place, he after the Kohen Gadol passes away, then his son assumes that position. And therefore, in this week's parasha, there's a fulfillment of that, that after Aaron would no longer be able to do the Avodah of Beis HaMikdash, his sons, Elazar and Isamar, would take his place. This is not limited to the position of the Kohuna Gedolah, but the Pasuk tells in Parasha Shoftim, and this applies to the Malchus as well, where the Pasuk says, Hu Ubanav Bekerev Yisrael, that he and his sons, together, in all of the community of Klal Yisrael. And the Sifrei comments, Hu Ubanav Shemes HaMelech, If the king passes away, benoy oimei tachtav, so then his son takes his place. However, the Sifreika continues that from the fact that we have a second drush over here, it not only applies to the Kohen Gadol, but from the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that it applies to the king as well, so ein li elazeh bilvad minan l'chol parnasa Yisrael, that implies that this applies not only to the Kohen Gadol, not only to the king, but rather any position of leadership and authority within the community, shebeneim oimdim tachtehem, that if the father will no longer be able to carry out his duties, the son will take his place. Tamalayma hu ubanav bekerev Yisrael. That applies throughout the entire community amongst Klal Yisrael. Any position of authority or leadership within the community gets passed from father to son. And this is quoted by the Ramah in Hilchos Tefillah and Aruch Chaim, where the Ramah writes over here, Ois Dalet Shliach Tzibor Shehizkin, when he becomes a little bit older, the Baal Tefillah V'roi Tzalimno Is Binoi L'Sayeoi L'Prokim, he wants to appoint his son to help him out at different points. So even if he doesn't have as good of a voice as the father, the Ramah says, if he's taking the place of the father with regards to other matters, and the son has precedence over any other potential candidate, the tzibor cannot prevent him from assuming the role that was occupied by his father. And the Ramah adds that this not only, I'm sorry, the Magen Avraham adds over there, V'chein hu b'sifri, this is from the Sifri in Parashas Shoftim, shekol ha-menuyim b'nei en koidmin, any position of authority and leadership within the community, the son assumes or takes on the position of the father. It gets passed from father to son. The Ramah quotes this in Hilchus, in Yoradei, in Hilchus Tamidei Chachamim as well, where the Ramah writes over here, Ois hei misha huchzik l'rav b'ir. A person is a rav in a certain town. Even if he appointed himself, even if someone else is a greater talmid chacham comes to the community, he maintains his position. They continue to carry on that position even after he's passed away. So if they're able to carry out the duties of the position, so then the son carries on the position of the father, gets passed from father to son. The Ramah adds over here, that this is only if he was accepted bestam, without any conditions that were made. However, the Ramah adds, if he's accepted in the position, when he's accepted in the position, a condition is made. They said, only for you, this is not going to necessarily get passed on to your son, so then such a condition can be made. However, the Ramah says, if there's no, this is not articulated or stipulated, so then the assumption is that this is his position, and it gets passed from the father to the son. However, the Magen Avraham looked back at Ois Dalet, quotes from the Tshuva of the Marashdam. The Marashdam lived in the 1500s, a contemporary of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Marashdam writes that this only applies to positions of authority or leadership within the community. But if it's a position that's a Torah position, based on a person's knowledge of Torah, a mastery of Torah, so then it does not get passed on from father to son. Kasev de Bechacham ha-memuna la-harbitz Torah. His whole role is to spread Torah, to teach Torah, or l'dayin l'yamin ankein. If he's, supposed to issue dinei Torah, so then we don't apply this rule. And the Chassam Sefer endorses in one tshuva, he has two tshuvas about this topic, in one tshuva, he spends the entire tshuva endorsing this opinion of the Marashdam. that if a position is entirely one of Torah, of passing shilas, of teaching Torah, then of course it does not get passed on from father to son. The Sam Sefer quotes from the Gemara Maseches Yuma, which notes that there were three kelim in the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan that had zer, that had a crown around the top. There was, of course, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, and the Aron. And the Gemara claims that this corresponds to three positions, three ksarim that exist in Klal Yisrael. You have the Keser Kahuna, which corresponds to the crown on top of the Mizbeach, the Keser Malchus, that corresponds to the crown around the top of the Shulchan, and the Keser Torah, that corresponds to the crown around the top of the Aron. And the Gemara says that two of the ksarim have already been claimed. The Keser Malchus was claimed by David Vizari, Keser Kahuna was claimed by Aaron Vizari, but the Keser Torah is Munach for whoever would like to come and to claim it. So it sounds like this is not something that there's a monopoly upon it, that one is unique or limited to one family or one person. And whoever, this is a meritocracy, and whoever excels more than somebody else is entitled to that position. And the Sam Sefer continues that this is in fact what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Pinchas, after Moshe was told about that if there's no sons, then daughters Yarshin in the place of the sons, with this episode of Benoist Slavchan. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there's a halacha of Yerusha. He said, well, my son, he started to think about, his estate planning, that his son should be the one to take over his position. And he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his son should be able to take over. And the Medrash claims that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected that suggestion or that request of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in fact appointed Yehoshua instead, because Yehoshua excelled more at learning than Moshe Rabbeinu's children. So the Sam Sefer says to see already from the precedent of Moshe Rabbeinu that this Moshe Rabbeinu was of course a Rabban of Kol Yisrael. His main role was teaching Torah, communicating Torah to Kol Yisrael. So that such a position which is focused upon teaching Torah and issuing Piskei Din, that of course does not go be Yerusha from father to son. He endorses this Pesach of the Marjdam. Abed Ramo already said that a Rav of a community does go be Yerusha from the father to the son. It gets passed from father to son. So the Sam Sefer explains that's because in our time, the role of the Rabbanus has become a political appointment as well. That he's there to service the community and lead the community in other ways. And therefore, since it's taken on that political component, or that, that leadership component, beyond just teaching Torah and issuing Piskei Din, so that's why it became a position of leadership, of authority within the community, just like a Malchus, or like the Kahuna Gedayla, and therefore it does get passed on.
Sure, you don't think it's political also? He was a better leader.
Who was?
Sure, leadership.
Yes, but I guess that was the main thrust of the position, was one of teaching Torah. That was the role. Moshe Yeshua. So, but the Moshe Rabbeinu asked, why not my children? The Torah. That was the main thrust. Melech also. Yeah. And he was a Kohen Gadol for a period. Moshe was a complicated personality, wore many hats. But at least this part of the leadership didn't get passed on. But Malchus is not the case. It gets passed on from father to son. Even as long as he can carry out the duties of the position, even if he's not the most worthy, it does get passed on. The Sam Sefer does point out, he says, if the position is one of just teaching Torah, he says, let's say the person's role is to be the Rabba Roshi of a certain town. So the whole role is because you're the greatest Talmud Chacham in the town. So if someone else, that person will pass away and his son is not the greatest Talmud Chacham in the town, or a person's, his whole role is to be a Rosh Hashiva, is to teach Torah. So then that should not necessarily get, that's not a communal political appointment. If the whole position is one of teaching Torah, then it should not necessarily get passed on from father to son. However, if it does have a political component, a communal leadership component, so then that's what the Sam Sefer claims, that's what the Rama is discussing, that would get passed from father to son. However, the Talmidim of the Sam Sefer, the Maram Shik, and later on the Avnei Nezer, both claim that even though the Rama said a rabbinical position in a town, since it has a political component, a leadership component, does get passed from father to son, there are a few limitations on that. And one important one is the Gemara Maseches Harius. The Gemara says in Maseches Harius that normally a son who takes over the position of the father would not need to be Nimshach v'shemen ha-mishka. You wouldn't have to anoint him anew, because since he's assuming the position of the father, since the father was anointed as king, that anointing would pass on to the son. However, if a machlekes develops about who should take the place of the father, then you do have to anoint the son. Even though he's the one who takes the position, ultimately, he would require anointing. Ein moshech melech ben melech. You don't have to anoint the son. In time of Neymar Moshe Shlomo, but Shlomo Melch was anointed. So that was Mipnei Machleik Sushal Adoniyo. Because since it was a Machleik between him and another one of David Melch's children, who would take over the Malchus, so then it required a Mashiach B'Shem and a Hamishcha. Why? Why, if there's a Machleik, is to require Mashiach B'Shem and a Hamishcha? So the Rambam writes in Hukas Klei HaMikdash that it's in order to emphasize who won the Machleik. You know, if there's a machlekes, even if one assumes a position, we can appreciate this in our time, it doesn't necessarily die. You know, the machlekes is not over yet until there's been some, you know, final word on the matter. So what would be the, you know, the final makabah patish, that this is the one who's taking over the role, would be Mashiach B'Shem and Hamishcha. Then all of the machlekes would end with that. So the Rambam says it was really just an exclamation point. However, Rashi, on the Gemara Masechtas Hari, is a different shot. Rashi says that the only time the son can continue on in the position of the father without Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha is if there's no Machlekes. If there's a Machlekes, Ki Ika Machlekes Lav Yerushahi, then it's no longer an inheritance. Ubay Mashiach Mitchila. He requires Mashiach like he's being appointed anew. Why, just because there's a Machlekes, all of a sudden do we have to start over? It's a complicated, unusual situation. So many Achrayim explain for the following reason, that it's because we're not dealing over here with the general halacha of Yerusha, of a person's monetary assets, let's say, that get passed on from one generation to the next. That's not our perspective on the Malchus or on the Kahuna Gedayla, that this is a person's a private fiefdom which he owns, and he could decide to pass it on in any way that he chooses. It doesn't belong to him. Rather, we're dealing with halacha over here that the son steps into the shoes of the father. We want continuity here. So as long as the king, you know, is serving and he's doing, the son can carry on the duties of the job. So let the son step into the role of the father. We have other halachas as well where the son assumes the role of the father. He steps into his place. It's not a halacha of Yerusha that it gets passed like an asset that gets passed on from father to son. It's that the son assumes the role of the father and he's memale mekayma of the father. As it happened last week's parashas Bahar, if the father sells a house in a walled city, he has a year to redeem it. Not only does he have a year to redeem it, if his son will want, he'll pass away, the son will want to redeem it. Only the son can redeem it. Because the son is considered to be a continuation of the father. So over here, we're dealing with a situation where the halacha of Yerusha by the Malchus, by the Kuna Gedayla, is not because it's an asset that belongs to that person, like a monarchy, that everything within the country belongs to him. And he has the right to decide how it's going to get allocated. No, it's because the son assumes the role of the father, and we want that continuity. So if that's the case, that's only, many Achronim explain within Rashi, that's only assuming all of the circumstances have remained the same. Then we'll have continuity. However, if there's a machlekes about who's going to take over, so then the community has already changed. It's no longer the same position. Since it's no longer the same position, all the surrounding circumstances have changed, so then the son is never going to assume the position of the father as it was before, and therefore, when there's a machlekes, you require Mashiacha B'Shem and HaMishcha. Another place where perhaps you see this understanding of the concept of the son assuming the role of the father is with regards to the Medrash in this week's parasha. But the Medrash tells us, look back at Reis Aleph, that after Aaron no longer be able to carry out the duties of the Kuna Gedayla, Elazar Nisama would take his place. So the Medrash comments, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, one opinion in the Medrash, that this even occurred during the lifetime of Aaron HaKohen. Because the pasuk says, "Ve'yichayin Elazar Nisama al pnei Aaron Avihem," in front of the face of Aaron, their father. That implies that he's still alive, as the pasuk says in Parashas Noach, "Vayamas Charan al pnei Terech Aviv." Charan died in front of the face of Terech, his father, while Terech was still alive. So too, Elazar and Isamar stepped into the role of the Kuna Gedayla, even while Aaron HaKohen was still alive. So many Achrayim ask, how could it be that there's a passing on from one generation to the next while the father is still alive? Ein Yerusha Mechayim. You can't claim an inheritance while the parent is still alive. Or similarly, the Ramah says over here in Ois Dal, you have a Shliach Tzibur gets older and he wants his son to help him out, you know, Leprakim, once in a while take one of the Tfilis. He's allowed to do that. How can he do that? Ein Yerusha Mechayim. Even if it does get passed on from father to son, the father is still alive. So the Emek Bracha one of the Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Pomeramchik, suggests, you see, from here, we're not dealing with the halacha of Yerusha, that you have to wait for the father to pass away before it gets passed on to the son. We're dealing with the halacha that the son is continuing on in the role that was occupied by the father. What kind of continuity, abandoned mamalim akoymai, of the father? That's the halacha of Malchus, that's the halacha of Kivuhuna Gedayla, and all positions of leadership and authority within the community that do get passed on from father to son, because the son is continuing on in the position of the father. So if the community will change to be a machlekes, so then it's not the same circumstance, no longer the same position, and therefore the son would require Mashiach b'shem and hamishcha. The Rambam, though, does not learn like Rashi. The Rambam learned that Gemara Masech B'Sarius differently. The only reason you require Mashiach b'shem and hamishcha, if there's a machlekes, is to make an exclamation point as to who won the machlekes. So many understand that the Rambam disagrees with this perspective, and according to the Rambam, we're dealing with a real halacha of Yerusha. This is something that belonged to the father. It was his thing, the Kuhuna Gedayel of the Malchus, that position, and he has the right to pass it on to his son. It's not a halacha that the son steps into the role of the father. It's a halacha of Yerusha that gets passed on from father to son. One second. Obviously, yes, according to the Rambam, he does. And you see, perhaps as a marker for the... for this perspective as well, from a Tosefta Masechta Shkolim, the Tosefta tells Masechta Shkolim that there was a person who was in charge of all of the charitable funds in the Beis HaMikdash called the Amrachel. The Tosefta says, Lama Nikra Shmai Amrachel, Mivnei Shamar Al Hakol. He was in charge of everything. So he was the mister of everything. And it could have been a Kohen, a Levi, or Yisrael. But then the Tosefta continues, Misha Yesh Lo Ben Kohen. If when he passes away, he has a son, the son takes his place. Ach kaidim. If there's a brother, the brother takes his place. Ko ha kaidim benachla, kaidim besrarah, subavach yidin kaminik avaysev. As long as he carries on the position properly, whoever is kaidim in the seder of nachla and the seder of inheritance carries on the position. So you see over here, we're not dealing with halacha of the son stepping into the shoe of the father, because fathers and sons share a certain kind of relationship, and the son is just like a continuation of the father. We're dealing with a real halacha of Yerusha, that whoever occupies a position of leadership owns that position, so to speak, and is the ability to pass it on, whatever the stage of Yerusha will dictate. Yeah.
What is the ALM plus valid solid? So they...
If there's a machlokas, meaning there are two people with competing claims, or even if the community doesn't want him, so then that's a separate halacha. This halacha might not apply. Ein limchos bo means people are just upset. Well, who said, why you? No, the answer is him, because his father was there in the position. If there will be a machlekes, whether he's Roy Lekach, whether maybe there should be some other candidates, then the situation has changed, and then it's no longer the role of the father. Limchos means gratuitously.
We don't have anybody
else. Yeah, but people say, well, but why you? Yeah. Or he's stepping, people are meicha for every reason, why not? So I'm not saying, hey, limchos bo, what are you getting involved? But if a machlekes emerges, there's really competing claims, so then it's not the same role as the father. Father to Malchus, he doesn't have a Malchus. So what about over here? Are we dealing with halacha that the son assumes the role of the father? We're dealing with something that's Yerusha, that belongs to the father, so, sort of, and he's passing on to the next generation, and the state of Yerusha should apply. So the Paiskim debate, many issues that perhaps revolve around these two perspectives, how to view this halacha. So for example, the Tzaila was brought in the time of the Avodah HaGershuni, that's 1600 in Krakow. So he was asked, what about a son-in-law? There's no sons. Should a son-in-law take over? So Avodah HaGershuni says, no, this is not a halacha of Yerusha that gets passed on from Seder Yerusha. If there's no sons, it goes to the daughters, and then the son-in-law could take over the position. It's a halacha of continuity, that the son and the father share a certain bond, and it's considered to be a continuation of the leadership of the father. It wouldn't necessarily get passed on to son-in-laws. However, in the back of the Truvas HaRamah, there's Truvas from a show of Krakow. A little bit after the Ramah, but the Ramah, of course, is from Krakow. Krakow are printed there, contemporary of the Avodah HaGershuni. He disagrees. He says, no, we're dealing with a real halach of Yerusha over here, and if there's no sons, it gets passed on to the daughter, then the daughter, the husband, or her husband, then could assume the role, even the son-in-law. Another, issue. Yeah. Another issue which perhaps revolves around this, the issue is discussed by the Marsham, by the Divrei Chaim, is what about if there's a son, but the son is not ready yet to assume the position. So we need a placeholder, a person who's going to hold the position until the son is ready. So someone else takes over the position in the interim. So if we're dealing with halacha that the son takes over the role of the father on continuity, they never belonged to this guy in the first place. It really belonged to the father, so the father will pass it on to the son when the son will be ready. But if we're dealing with halacha over here of Yerusha, once someone else takes over the position, it becomes his. And it should go to his yarshim. It should, the father necessarily, if a grandfather can't necessarily, the father can't necessarily dictate, I don't want you. It doesn't belong to you. It's that the son should step into the role of the father. Many, of course, many different permutations of all of these cases. But there are these two perspectives that exist within how to understand this halacha. However, the Reb Sternbach writes in the Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, he quotes in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, that even though the Ramah writes a position of Rabbonus within a town does go be Yerusha from the father to the son, at least to the son, that the father is no longer able to carry out the duties, the son has can assume that position, and as the Ramah said, Einim Chayz Boy, we shouldn't prevent him from doing that. That perhaps does not apply in our time. Why not? Because the Chofetz Chaim claims the main role of the Rabbonus in our time is not the community leadership or political appointments, is rather to inspire and to motivate people to keep the Torah in the mystery. And that does not go be Yerusha from father to son. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yuma that even though the Kahuna Gedola did get passed on from father to son, but there was another Kohen Gadol, besides the Kohen Gadol who would do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it was a Kohen Gadol, Mashuach Mochama, who would inspire and motivate the troops before they would go out to war. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, that position does not pass from father to son. You might have thought the Mashuach Mochama would also get passed from father to son, just like the Kuna Gedola, the one who did the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Kedera Shabanoisha Kohen Gadol Meshamish Tachtav, Tamaloy Mashivas Yamin Yu B'Shem HaKohen Tachtav Mibonav, Asher Yavai El Oel Moed, that he will enter into the Oel Moed, Mishiroi Lovo El Oel Moed. Mashuach Mochama does not get passed from father to son. Why is it any different? So the Chofetz Chaim explained, because the Mashuach Mochama, his role is to inspire, to motivate people. And what inspires and motivates people in one generation is not going to be the same in the next generation. The Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is the same, is immutable. It's the same in one generation and the next. So that position of Kuna Gedola to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash gets passed from father to son. The son saw how the father did it. He can step into that role. However, the Mashuach Mochama is to inspire and to motivate people. That changes in every generation. So that does not get passed from father to son. So too, Sternbach quotes from the Chofetz Chaim, in our times, the Rabbanus should not necessarily get passed from father to son, because the main role of the Rabbanus is to inspire and to motivate people, in which case it would revert back to being what perhaps the Rabbanus should have been, which is teaching Torah and paskining halachas, which the Marash Dam told us that never got past the Yerusha in the first place. That was a meritocracy. Whoever was more royalikach was the one who assumed the position. And perhaps the political leadership and all of that is really not the main role, wasn't the main role to begin with, and is not the main role in our times either. This is relevant as well, not only with regards to passing on positions of community leadership within the community, but perhaps with regards to passing on mitzvos. The person who has has earned the right to perform a mitzvah within the community, does that get passed on from the father to the son? And Mordechai writes over here, Masechtas Baba Basra, over here, Oisir Beis, that Yeshayahu was asked by Rami Rutenberg, Adam Shehechzik B'mitzvah, a person who had become accustomed to performing a public mitzvah, Kigom B'glilo B'sefer Torah, Vira Einas O'Eini, and he's unable to do it for 1 year, or one time, because of an Einas, he's not well, or because he's unable to afford it. V'nosnu Akal Se'mitzvah La'acher, and the community gave the mitzvah to somebody else. V'achach Ober Ha'Einas V'Heshir, he either got better or he's now able to afford to do the mitzvah again. He wants to reclaim that mitzvah that he became accustomed to doing. So now he could pay for it. The Marami Rutenberg responded, he has the right to resume doing that mitzvah, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, if the Kohen Gadol will be a carry 1 year on Yom Kippurim, we're going to have to appoint someone else in his place. nonetheless, after he becomes Torah again, he goes back to assuming the role as the Kohen Gadol. The person who got pointed in his place is now stuck in limbo. He can't go back to being a regular Kohen, Malam B'Kodesh Vein Meridin, and he can't continue on as the Kohen Gadol. So that whoever assumed his place is now stuck. But he is, but now he's stuck. He can't go back to the bench. But the Kohen Gadol resumes his role as being the Kohen Gadol. And Taisus derives not only with regards to the Kohen Gadol, this is with regards to all community, anybody who's doing a mitzvah on behalf of the community, Leparnas and Mamuna Letziba, Shira Oines Va'avar, he has to be removed from his position temporarily. When he gets better, he recuperates, he has the right to resume that position. What is this based on? This is based on a different makar, based on a Pasuk in Parashas Truma with regards to the building of the Mishkan. There the Pasuk says, Va'kemoi says, HaMishkan Kimishpata, quoted by the Talmud Yushalmi Mesech the Shabbos. You should erect the Mishkan according to the rules, properly. What is the rules of erecting the Mishkan? It doesn't mean the halachis. What it means is that whatever board was in the north, says the Yerushalmi, should continue to be in the north. Whatever board was in the south, should continue to be in the south. They were labeled where they would go. When they took it down, the Mishkan was reassembled, they were labeled where they went, and they were put back in their original spot. So whatever was in the north would be in the north, whatever was in the south would be in the south, because that board had earned the right to be in that position. So too, the Marami Rutenberg derives from the Talmud Yerushalmi that anybody who has earned the right to perform a mitzvah on behalf of the community should have the right to continue performing that mitzvah. And this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Over here, Simon Kufnu and Gimel Sifcha Beis, Adam Shuraga B'Shum Mitzvah Kogan Glila, like doing a Glila, some communal mitzvah, has the right to continue on doing that mitzvah. However, the Shulchan Aruch adds one limitation, important, and that is, that's assuming that he didn't pass on an opportunity to do it. He was not well, wasn't able to do it. Or he wasn't able to afford to do it, and then he recuperates, regains the ability to pay for it, then he resumes, he has the right to resume doing that mitzvah. But let's say the guy, leaves. He decides to go to Eretz Yisrael one year, from after Yana. You don't have you lose the right. Or a guy is here and he decides he doesn't want it that year. Yeah, he could have done it, and he decides he doesn't want to. So then once you pass, you lose the right to continue to perform that mitzvah.
That's open for sale?
We'll get to things that are open for sale. We'll get to it in 1 second. Okay? But let's say a person is doing a mitzvah, he always has psicha, tanim, smiris, and he decides to go away. He decides, you know what, I'm busy knocking around with the kiddush, I'm not going to do it, you do it, then you lose your rights. All bets are off, he doesn't have the right to continue to do this. And this halakha is also found in the Gemara Masechta Gittin. Also, from a slightly different perspective, we're already saying the person has earned the right to do it and to continue to do it. The Gemara Masechta Gittin introduces another element over here, which is the Mishnah says, Ma'arav Mabayis Yoshin, the house that we place the Erev Chatzeros in, that's every Erev which enables people to carry, also has to have a box of matzahs, which symbolically represents as if we're all living in one home. So the whatever house we place the box of matzahs in, 1 year, we should do it the following year as well. Mipnei Darkei Shalom. In order to keep people happy, and also, what is the Darkei Shalom here? Mishum Chashada. The people shouldn't suspect something is amiss. And Taisus explains what that means is people might say, oh, they didn't move the Erev because there was something wrong with this person's house, with the way he's conducting his family business. So we don't want people to have any, give people any foothold, to have any suspicions about anybody else's, any impropriety, which of course did not occur. Therefore, whatever house the Erev was in, the following year she continue to be in that house. So too, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, over here in Sif Yud Zayin, same simon, that a person who has a shul in his house, the community can't move it to a different house. It says in Mishnah Berurah, if they want to build a proper shul, of course they can do that, and the guy who has the house, meaning there's no time. But if they want to move houses, they want to make a different house, we have a rotating schedule, it says in Mishnah Berurah, you can't do that. Once they all gave him the right to have it in his house, he has the right to continue to have it in his house. If they want to make a second minion and he'll still have a minion, Mishnah Berurah says you could do that. As long as he has a minion in his house, that's fine. But you have to allow him to continue to have a minion in his house. And then Mishnah Berurah adds that this applies to any mitzvah, even a mitzvah that's bar mizman lizman. If a person has earned the right to perform that mitzvah, he has the right to continue to perform that mitzvah. However, the Ramah adds another limitation on this. One limitation we had is, if the person is Michael once, he doesn't do it. If he gives up, the wool goes away, or he's not too busy to do it. So then, 1 second, so then he loses that right. Another limitation, the Ramah says, is that this is only assuming we had another option. We have many houses we could host them in, and we decide to host them by you. But let's say we have no other option. What situation could that be? So the Ramah is discussing over here, Yachid Sheyeh, this in Chesh Mishpat, Yachid Sheyeh, this halach Tzukin Chesh Mishpat too, all of them. So Yachid Sheyeh Shal Sefer Torah. If a Yachid has a Sefer Torah, and he donates it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Beis HaKnesses. We always read his Sefer Torah. Why? Because we have no other Sefer Torah. So Sefer Torah Acher. We had other Sefer Torah. We are mechaved him to use this Sefer Torah. Kishakaru b'shaloi. So then he has the right to say, "Look, you have I've earned the right that you read from my Sefer Torah, and I demand that you continue to read from my Sefer Torah." But if we don't have any other Sefer Torah, it says the Ramah over here in the middle of the second line, "Imlo hayalahen Sefer Torah Acher." That's not considered to be a chazaka. Why? Because we had no other choice. It's not that we assigned you the right to have this public mitzvah, and therefore you've earned the right to continue doing it. We have no other option. A guy donates a pareches to the shul. So we don't have any other pareches. And then someone decides, I want to donate, I want to update the pareches, donate a new pareches. So can the person who donated the old pareches claim, I've earned the right to have my pareches be on the orange? So many say, no, it's the same as the Sefer Torah. If we didn't have any other pareches, so then it doesn't necessarily assign. We weren't all mechu to you, that you have the right to have a pareches. We had no other choice. We had no other Sefer Torah. So if another Sefer Torah will come, so then we can now begin to switch off. If we did have a bunch of people who would have done it, and we gave the right to you, okay, so then that's a whole different situation. If we didn't have any other options, so then not necessarily does that get assigned to you.
Well, the Sefer Torah, one is clearly nicer than the other, and usually what's nicer now, third person comes along. You say the same thing, we only use yours because it's nicer.
You have, I don't know what nicer means. Either it's kosher or it's puzzle. But if it's kosher, and you decide to use one, So then you don't necessarily have the right to say, if we decide to always lean from one, so then we've assigned that right to somebody.
Can a father use his son as a placeholder? I'm not in the mood to this year, let my son do it, then I'll take it back.
No, so mitzvahs, we're going to get to in 1 second. We discussed positions of authority. We're almost done with mitzvahs. However, the Pesach Teshuvah adds an important rule over here, quotes the name of Sefer Chassidim. This is only if this wasn't auctioned off. If the mitzvah is auctioned off, so then whoever can pay more money has the right to claim the mitzvah. You don't have the right to say, I bought it last year, I bought it the year before, no one else can outbid me. The Sefer Chassidim says, even if people are shaloi lishma, it's not that they want to give more money to tzedakah, they just want to oust this guy from the mitzvah, they have the right to do it. He says over here, av she'enu miskavdim l'shem shamayim, el iskavdim, they want the covenant, they want to remove that guy from the covenant. You can't remove a guy from doing a mitzvah. And this is also found, you can't prevent a guy from donating more money to tzedakah. So if he's going to give more money to tzedakah, he's the right to outbid him. So the Mordechai says, Mesechus Megillah as well, if a person's going to pay more for the mitzvah, he has the right to get it. So when then are we discussing that a person's earned the right to do a mitzvah that belongs to him? We're discussing where he started doing it for free, he wasn't paying for it, or he's the only one who stepped up to do it, even if it involves some, psicha, it doesn't cost money, and we gave it to him. So why did we give it to him? Must be where he earned the right to do it, and therefore he has the right to continue to do it. Or no one else wanted to pay for it. No one, we asked, who wants to pay for a pareches? And no one stepped up, and this guy stepped up to do it. So then he has earned the right to continue to do it. If we, let's say we need a Sefer Torah. Who wants to write a Sefer Torah? No one. So one guy steps up to do it. He's earned the right to continue to have his Sefer Torah be the Sefer Torah that they lean from. That's based on a Gemara, Masechtas Tainis, where the Gemara says, when they first came back in the times of Ezra to the Beis HaMikdash, there were no wood in the Beis HaMikdash. And there was one family that stepped up and paid for all the wood. So the Gemara says, even though later on in history, the storehouse would be full of wood for the Beis HaMikdash, they would continue to use the wood of that family. Because when no one was willing to pay for it, they were willing to pay for it. So if a guy does it, it either involves they never auctioned it off in the first place, or he's the only one who stood up to pay for it, he's earned the right to do that mitzvah, and he has the right to continue to do the mitzvah. Nobody has the right to remove him. But does it get passed on from father to son? Writes to Mordechai, Masechtas Megillah, V'loy Shayach Yerusha B'mitzvahs. No, he has earned the right to do it. It does not get passed on from father to son. Why not? So the Mefarshim explained, the Chassam Sofer explains, because again, this is like a person who's teaching Torah. There's no Yerusha by mitzvah. The person doesn't own the mitzvah. When we're dealing with a communal position of leadership, of authority within the community, yeah, okay, so then we want continuity there in the leadership and the political, you know, appointment, whatever. And that continues from father to son. But if it's just the Torah, it's just mitzvah, it's a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, as the Mishnah says in Avos, Haskin Atzmecha Lumal Torah, She'eina Yerushalach, that does not get passed down from father to son. Every person has to establish their own relationship with the Kaddish.